Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you on this Friday morning. And as we do every Friday morning at 7, we welcome in our friend Jared Stillman to the program. Jared, good morning. Three wins in a row for you in the Jared versus Joe competition. I am pretty confident in saying that has to be a record. Congratulations.
Thank you so much. You know, I'm just thinking about what's ahead of me. I'm not worried about what's behind me. I am just so thankful to our loyal and apparently young audience that we have on our program, and apparently you guys have on your program as well. Joe's slacking. Joe's like Mike Vrabel. He's living off of what people used to think of him and not what his current production is right now.
Very well
you're
done.
You're thankful to your loyal and young protege who's cheating for you.
Well, I mean, I'm thinking Caroline, for a lot of reasons, but I don't think she's cheating. You need to take that up with her.
Jared, speaking of Vrabel, what have you made this week of him going after you and Rex Road? It's been entertaining to watch from my standpoint, but a lot of Titans fans mad at Vrabel.
Well, let me say this. First of all, I think him going after Joe was so incredibly stupid. And not only was it stupid because of the hands thing, and so who knows like what Joe was doing with his hands, but more importantly, like if he had just gone after me, then it would have been like, yeah, Vrabel, you got him. Yeah. You know, people would have blamed me for Vrabel's outburst. But then when he does something crazy the next day, now it's like, what is the matter with this guy? And quite frankly, what do I make of it? I mean, I make that it's bad over there. I said if they lost the game to Baltimore, I said it's going to be a bad 2 weeks over there. And, you know, somehow people were mad after the Ravens game, but I thought that the waters were somewhat calm. And I felt, you know, on Sunday night and Monday morning, like I felt like, okay, like, you know, they're going to beat the Falcons on Sunday and they'll be 3-4 and, you know, people will be happy for a little bit. And then we'll see if they can go muddy up a game against Pittsburgh. And then they traded Kevin Byard. And I mean, it's just been like one drama nugget after another, you know, I mean, it's bad over there right now. You the GM and the coach can't trust each other. You get Fitz saying, you know, that it's just a bad vibe from people he's talked to, you know, around the league or whatever it may be. It's bad over there, and I don't think it's going to get any better if they don't win some football games, specifically this one. I don't think Vrabel's all of a sudden going to learn to, you know, address the audience with some humility if they lose. And if they lose, the fans are going to be so mad at the losing that when Vrabel acts like a jerk, something that the fans usually like, they're going to get even more mad at him, because not because they're mad that he's a jerk, but they're mad because he's losing, and then they'll just blame him being a jerk. Like they'll pile that onto things that they're upset about.
Hey, Robbie, did you hear that?
What's that?
Did you hear that?
What am I hearing?
Jared saying, ripping Vrabel for not addressing the audience with humility. Please clip
okay.
that.
Okay.
Please,
okay.
please, my goodness, clip that. All right, Jared. So, you have nothing to say, Jared? I mean, I left it for you. Would you like to tell
what
us
about
that you're top 10 in humility? Are you top 10 in humility in this country?
Well, I mean, I think, you know, what's funny is that I remember when people got really mad at me one time, and I had just, agreed to a deal with SiriusXM. And Joe, you were the one that was like telling the audience that as crazy as you think I am, that you thought that I earned it and deserved it. And that meant a lot to me. And that's why
true.
Our friendship is so important to me, Joe.
I think a lot of you, not as much as you think of yourself, but I think a lot of you, Jared.
Well, I mean, I will say this. The difference between me and everybody else is that I do feel like, you know, in order, like when people send in like text messages to the text line that say like, you know, that I suck, or they send me, you know, tweets about how much they hate me, like I do see that stuff. So there's only one way to overcome that, and that is to know inside that I'm great.
That is true. Very well said.
daily affirmation. Daily affirmation with Jared Stillman. I love it.
If you don't believe in yourself, Joe, nobody will believe in yourself.
That's right. Okay, so let's take it to where it's going from here. First of all, we've been talking about Derrick Henry. Maybe he gets dealt, maybe he doesn't. He's gonna play Sunday. I mean, I don't think he will get dealt ultimately. But let's say, so for you, in terms of looking at what the Titans are doing, would you feel better about them doing nothing, which I've heard you say, like, that would be ridiculous, and I get the sentiment, that doing nothing else other than trading Byard, or would you feel better if the other move was Byard followed by Henry, which is doing something else along these lines?
Well, I mean, my answer to that is, I mean, what am I getting for Derrick Henry? And then once I know what I'm getting for Derrick Henry, then I can tell you if I like it or I don't. If you're getting a six-round
pick. Okay, so you're open to a decent return on Derrick Henry. That's better than doing nothing. Is that what you're saying?
Well, I'm open to trading anybody. It depends on what you're offering me. But, I mean, as far as the Derrick Henry thing, like, my biggest issue with the Byard thing is, well, it's twofold. One, it's that I wasn't ready to quit on the season, and they can say whatever they want. Getting rid of Byard for a bag of footballs is quitting on the season. And then secondly, you know, everyone keeps telling me, you know, hey, it's a business decision, man, and then we got to come to work every day because these are business decisions. I'm like, okay, but was it a good business decision for a fifth and a sixth round pick? Like, is that a good business decision? And the answer to that is no, but, you know, that's...
What would you think that they should have gotten for Kevin Byard?
I mean, I would have looked at Kevin Byard, and if I was going to trade Kevin Byard to the Eagles, in which I've already paid Kevin Byard pretty much all of his money, I probably would have wanted a third-round pick in return.
I mean, you want a lot of things, but that's...
Right, and so I wouldn't have gotten it. So guess what I wouldn't have done? I wouldn't have given up on the season. And the other thing that nobody keeps talking about with this is, could it not have waited a week? Like, could you have not have waited a week for the Falcons game and then gone into the Falcons game and seen where it had gone? Because the trade deadline was not this week. It's next week. So you had to jump at the fifth and the sixth round pick because fifth and sixth round picks are so valuable that you wave the white flag on the season because the Eagles might pull their offer of a fifth and a sixth round pick. And I love all these people that are like, well, Jared, the Titans need picks. I'm like, they need good picks. They don't need fifth and sixth round picks. They need third round picks. And so, you know, I digress on that, but it just...
But when you have more picks, you could package those and get third round picks, can't you?
Not really.
Thank you.
No. Here's how you get more picks. You end up with the fifth overall pick in this draft. You move to 12, and so you end up picking up like 2 seconds to move from 5 to 12, and then you move from 12.
That's one way too. Yep.
You move from 12 to 17, and you pick up a first round pick in next year's draft. Like, that's how you add picks. The idea, either that or you trade a freaking superstar player and you trade him for more than AJ Brown. That's how you get picks. You don't get picks.
Jared.
By trade, you don't get, and again, I'm talking about real picks. Right now, this is the ledger, which is amazing. The Titans have traded to the Eagles AJ Brown and Kevin Byard in exchange for Treylon Burks, Malik Willis, Hugo Amadi, Dennis Daly, and Terrell Edmonds. Yay. The picks for Dennis Daly and Hugo Amadi. Yeah.
That's fine, but that's still separate from what we're talking about. But Jared, first of all, those picks do have value. You need depth. You need players. I mean, again, the John Robinson era alone, I mean, I've talked about this, wrote this. I mean, the fifth round, Tajay Sharpe was a pretty good pick. Levin, Jayon Brown, David Long Jr., Dane Cruikshank. I mean, guys like that matter. You need guys like, I mean, look, Kyle Phillips right now, not working out, but that's, I think, as a fifth round pick, that's not bad. There's potential there. There's potential with Wiley and Duncan this year in this year's class.
There is no potential with Jalen Duncan. What are you talking about?
Okay, I know. He sucks. You know what his career is going to be. I know. You're amazing at being able to – you see a guy who, as a rookie, was said to be a project from the start, and because he's a project who isn't playing, you know he sucks. Okay.
Well, you know what my favorite part was when they drafted him and they put on TV, Jalen Duncan – led the Big Ten in sacks allowed.
Right. Stop sidetracking the point here. The point here, Jared, is that a fifth and sixth round picks, first of all, can give you good players.
Fine. Also, you build your team off fifth and sixth round picks. I'll build my team off of good players, Jared, and first and second round picks.
Yeah, those are important too. But this team has no depth on its roster. None. That is a fine return for Byard. Absolutely. That is in line, and I might even say it's pretty good for Byard. And you can use picks like that to move up. Maybe it's only for – I mean, the value on the chart is a fourth-round pick. You can get a lot of good players in the fourth round and certainly the third round. You have to do – you need the high picks too, and you're right about being able to move down with a first and getting better picks than that. But, like, this team was completely bereft of draft capital. So this idea that it's a bag of balls is – thank you. This idea that it was a bag of balls is just silly.
It is a fifth and sixth round pick is absolutely a bag of footballs. Like, that is absolute. Right. That is Dennis Daly and Hugo Amadi. What is better, a bag of footballs or Dennis Daly and Hugo Amadi? Robbie.
Dude, I just went through the fifth and sixth round picks just in recent years at the Titans.
Those are two bad examples.
Yeah. You got to make good choices.
That would not be good.
That's what they haven't been doing.
Robbie, you got to pick a bag of footballs or Dennis Daly and Hugo Amadi.
Footballs.
Okay, thank you.
I'll take Hugo Amadi. Brown, though. Hugo Amadi over a bag of footballs.
Here's the thing that I like, you know, and Gentry wrote this and said this on the show this week, which I agree, and I'm talking about your show. Gentry said that, you know, watch them trade Kevin Byard and then do nothing, right? Like, it's like, all right, if you're going to trade Byard, you might as well just start calling around on everything that doesn't have some extra value attached to it. So Hopkins has a year after this year attached to it, and I believe that if Will Levis is going to be your quarterback, you want to make sure that DeAndre Hopkins is available for him to throw to, and I think that's more important than the bag of footballs that you may receive in exchange. The other thing I think we know about the Titans is I don't think their first choice is going to be eating money on players, even though that would be the easiest way to get the best returns. But if you're really going to do this, like, you know, sell Henry, sell Tart, sell Autry, sell Azeez Al-Shaair, sell Christian Fulton, like, whatever you can get, everything must go that doesn't have a contract for next year's sale, and then you'll load up with a bunch of fifth and sixth round picks. And then you'll draft a bunch of Hugo Amadis.
That's good. Oh, okay. Yeah.
Right. But, like, at least do that. But, you know, but they're not going to do that. They're not going to do that.
Jared's in favor of, if you get a whole bunch of bags of balls, then that's good.
Well, like, if you're just going to.
How you're not a GM by now is,
if you're just
going to
go, like, if you're just going to wave the white flag, then freaking wave it. That's my point. And the other thing about these fifth and sixth round picks.
I'm waving the white flag on this. Segment right now.
The other thing about fifth and sixth round picks,
waving a white flag,
Joe, that's ridiculous. You look ridiculous. You sound ridiculous. But more importantly, the like, when it comes to these fifth and sixth round picks, like, they are a bag of footballs. But if you have 10 of them, like, then you have a better chance of getting Antonio Brown with one of those picks. And I'm not saying you're going to. And then I don't even know if this coaching staff can develop the players that you pick with those picks, but. I mean, if you've got, you know, 10 of them, you've got a chance at, you know, lottery shots or whatever it may be. This idea that you guys have that, like, you're all of a sudden going to trade these fifth and sixth round picks to move up into the third round. You could offer somebody like 8 fifth round picks to move up into the third round.
Oh, we never said third round. Yeah, we didn't say third round.
But that's where the good players are.
What's the point?
So,
Jared, we love you. We appreciate you as always. Rex Road has literally left the conversation.
Has he actually? We'll talk to you
next week. He has.
Why?
I don't know. I think you may have been having some technical difficulties.
Oh, I was going to say, well, then don't you need me here so that you got somebody to sit there and
we're good.
See you, Robbie.
Good. Everything's good. See you, Jared. Jared Stillman joins us every Friday morning at 7 o'clock here on the program. We hope to have Rex Road back with us in the next segment. There's a lot to react to with Jared there. We'll take your thoughts on the Titans as well. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063 The Game. Make your silly underdog picks today for your chance to win weekly prizes. You can play at thegamenashville.com or the 1025 The Game app as we approach week 9 of college football, week 8 of the NFL. Silly underdog picks presented by Volunteer Hose and Gasket. Also, make sure you check out our college football game of the week on 94.9 The Fan, presented by Twin Peaks as Vanderbilt takes on Ole Miss at 6:30 with pregame beginning at 5 o'clock.
Take your tailgate to Twin Peaks for scenic views of all the hottest college football games across the country and home of the 29-degree beer. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road. Rex Road has returned to the conversation after getting up and walking out last time out with Stillman.
I think I'm going to do that more often now. I'm just going to turn off my computer. If we can't get him to stop talking, I'm just going to turn off my computer. How did it end? Did he at least say, like, you know, have a good day, thanks?
He
something
did.
Like that? Yeah,
he did. Okay. Yeah, it was good.
Okay. I mean, Jared's, like, he has an incredible gift for just openly talking in contradictions constantly. It's amazing, really. But, yeah, what would you rather have, Jared, as a texter pointed out on the text line with Robbie and Rex, or, you know, the fifth and sixth round picks, or Isaiah Wilson? Because those first and second round picks, oh, those are always great. Look, obviously, anybody would rather have a first or be as high as possible, have the best opportunity, okay? But let's understand the crapshoot nature of this thing and the fact that the more chances you give yourself, the more kicks at the can you give yourself, that just raises the math on you actually getting players who are going to help your team. There is very much high value in having draft capital for whatever you may use it for. And to pretend like Byard trade was for a bag of balls is, honestly, it's intellectually dishonest by Jared.
Now, having said that, and I agree with that part, having said that, if they get through this next week here and after the deadline and Byard's the only move they make, wouldn't that be pretty upsetting if you're a Titans fan? And I do buy into, like, also, like, if you're Byard, and let's say this game influences whether or not they're making another move. Well, then why were you moving Byard before a week before you had to at the deadline? Like, I do, that is something that I have wondered too. Like,
that's a fair point. That's a fair
point.
Could
you not have waited another week on Byard to see how this game would have gone at that point?
No, I mean, that's fair. I mean, you know, look, I do think, and I've seen some people bring this up, and I can't just dismiss it. I mean, Byard in particular, and I do think that this is more on the Rand side of things, because Rand is the one who comes in and, you know, looks at him and acknowledges that he asked for a pay cut and all that stuff, right? Even that, though, it's not like Vrabel found out on Twitter that he asked him for a pay cut, but there was something with Byard, right? And I'm not saying something like, oh, they couldn't stand Byard. I mean, that might be. And I understand anybody bringing this up, because if you're not around him, around the locker room, it's a fair question. Byard is a huge loss for this locker room, universally respected, loved, all that stuff. But Byard as a safety making what he made was an obvious thing that Rand Carthon came in and looked at and said, right? So all of which is to say, like, Byard is kind of a special case a little bit, where it's like, then he took the cut. Now, I agree with what Jared said. You know, when they converted him into bonus and the Eagles don't have to pay much anyway, I mean, you could wait on that. So I'm saying, and this is a terrible rambling of word salad that's not making sense, I agree with you that if they do nothing else, that's weird. I also think that Byard in particular, like, we pretty much know he was going to be gone. And the idea of, quote, getting something for him is, like, I get it. But what if they do win this week and there's nothing else coming? You're just a weakened football team. And although you do need the draft capital, I mean, you could make the case that now, so you went into this year to try to win. So what are you doing?
Yeah. And
I think that whole thing, just save that audio, that rambling, just terrible commentary by me is kind of like representative of what's happening with the Titans. Well, okay, let's let that represent it.
Let's do that. That's why I the game on Sunday, beyond the obvious of the Levis part of this, because look, Levis is, from the on the field standpoint, that's what I'm watching Sunday. I mean, if I'm a Titans fan, that's why I'm interested in the game. You know, beyond the, you know, could this be Derrick Henry's last game as the Titans stuff, which maybe not. We'll see on that front. But, like, the Levis part of this is going to be interesting on Sunday. But, like, if they win the game and are 3-4, does that actually change what they could do at the deadline? Like, are there deals that they're willing to make at 2-5 that they're not willing to make at 3-4. Because on the surface to me, like, that sounds stupid, because you've, in my view, you've kind of already decided to go down this path, even though, as you've laid out, maybe that was coming with Kevin Byard anyway. But can one game really make that much of a difference in the way the Titans actually view this? At 2-5, would they be willing to move DeAndre Hopkins? Whereas at 3-4, maybe they're not. At 2-5, are you willing to move Christian Fulton? Where at 3-4, you're not. I don't know. That sounds dumb to me on the surface, but there is a difference between 3-4 and 2-5, especially when you look at the rest of the schedule.
Yes, and you get to 2-5, and at least some people in the building may start to think a little bit about draft pay. I mean, Vrabel's not. Guys in the locker room aren't, right? I mean, no way. But 2-5, there's some Titans fans who have been there since the loss to New Orleans. You know, tank right now for Caleb Williams. Yeah. But you do look at the draft, and so to me, I absolutely buy into, especially if, and I'm sorry, I have to use my hands now to stop my coughing. But I absolutely buy into the idea that keeping these veterans on offense around is a good idea for your young quarterback. So I would be more inclined to trade defensive players, because, you know, you trade a Fulton, you trade an Autry, you know, you weaken yourself. And again, you're looking toward the future, but you're also looking toward the future to me by keeping, I mean, I think, you know, Hopkins next year, as we've talked about today on the show, I mean, Henry next year, I think, is getting less likely, but Hopkins next year would be nice for your young quarterback. Now, he may not like that idea.
Yeah.
He didn't come here to be part of a rebuild or help a young quarterback get better, right? He came here because he got the best deal, but also because I think he thought they had a chance to win. But I would be more inclined to look at defensive players and then try to keep helping your quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, that makes sense. And yeah, if they do go the route of trading Henry, trading Hopkins, how do you get a real evaluation of what Levis is, right? With that offensive line and with that collection of skill players, it's going to be difficult to see what he is. I mean, we talked earlier in the show about, like, what if Levis goes out there and plays great? You know, what happens if he plays terrible? Like, you know, that to me is probably more likely than him going out there and playing great in his first NFL start. Like I said, you can't draw, you know, overarching conclusions either way, but it would be a nice shot in the arm for this franchise right now that's dealing with a lot of negativity and a fan base that is restless, to have your rookie quarterback go out there and show some promise. Like, if he goes out there and is bad, I don't think there will be, like, a ton of Titans fans rushing to, like, absolute judgment on the pick of how bad he's going to be in the future. But it would be a nice shot in the arm for a fan base where not a whole lot's going right now.
Oh, no doubt. I mean, Titans fans need something, and especially something with, like, a young player where they're like, wow, like, Treylon Burks. I mean, he had the big play in, you know, week two, and then, he's been hurt. But they need some young players. Tajay Spears is promising, but like to look toward the future, like, there's, you know, there's some excitement. Real quick, on this topic, I do want to ask Michelle's questions. Vols fans, because the Vols fans who are Titans fans, if Levis stinks Sunday, you know what they're going to say.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, the Vols fans are ready to pounce, but this is what she asked Vols fans. Would you rather Kentucky stomp on your team this weekend, on your Vols, or will Levis ball out for the rest of the season?
I think most of them would rather Will Levis ball out for the rest of the season.
Yeah, I think Vols fans, the idea of losing in Kentucky, which happens, what, once every 25 years or whatever? What is that? Something like that?
Something like that.
That sounds terrible. But the Vols fans, absolutely. Like, if Levis is really good, well, we're going to have fun on our show, I can tell you that. With the Vols Levis haters.
Well, Joe, I mean, look, Jared Goff looks good in Detroit. Maybe the Titans could trade for Hendon Hooker at the deadline. You ever thought of that?
You know, you've got a point there. Got a point. Well, I mean, Kyler Murray is coming back to the practice field. I mean, maybe it's time to bring in Dobbs and Hooker.
Maybe so. Just an all-Vol quarterback.
And then draft Milton.
Yes, just get them all in there. Coming up next, speaking of the Vols, we're going to get into this Connor Stallion situation in Michigan, which is continuing on a daily basis to kind of morph into a life of its own What a wild story in college football, and maybe a more overarching story than we ever could have imagined when it began. We'll get into all that coming up next. Make sure you join Jared Stillman, Chris Sanders, and Derek Mason at Teddy's Tavern, located across from Bridgestone Arena's Plaza this Sunday from 9:30 to 11:30. They'll break down the Titans Week 8 matchup against the Falcons, give you the latest updates before the game, our NFL pregame show presented by Parma Tractor and Equipment, and the Beast Unleashed. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. We'll have the Rex Rant with Joe Rex Road coming up at 7:45. Teron Davenport joining us at 8 o'clock. We'll get into the Titans and the Falcons matchup with him, and a very busy week for the Titans on the news front. Looking forward to that. Joe, speaking of news, this Connor Stallion stuff with Michigan is unbelievable. And we brought it up a little bit, but the scope of it continues to kind of evolve on a daily basis. So for those who have missed it, Connor Stallions, apparently employed by Michigan, accused of stealing signs, and whether that's going to games and stealing signs, scouting other teams. There's talk about him doing it through TV and scouting college football playoff potential opponents, whether that's Tennessee or whoever else. It's been a wild couple of days. Nick Saban was asked about it yesterday on the Pat McAfee show and kind of gave like a breakdown of the history of sign stealing in football, which was interesting to watch. But number one, where do you think this goes from here in terms of what this means for Michigan and some potential punishment that could be coming this way? And what do you make of the sign stealing as a whole? Because to me, Saban brought up a solution yesterday that I think is pretty self-explanatory, and I'm not sure why they don't do it anyway. But like, why are there no headsets in college football where you could just microphone into the quarterback like you can the NFL, so you're not having to do these signs? It seems like a very simple solution to me.
Yeah. Well, and I think that'll end up being part of it. I am saving some stuff for next segment because okay, there's some stuff about this that's just incredible right now. But first of all, I think the answer to the headset and to the history of this question is resources. I mean, there have been a lot of votes over the years that are like, well, yes, the Power Five schools can afford this, but we're all Division One. I mean, this is part of the argument to separate it and break free and not have rules that apply for people that have totally different financial situations than other people, right? So I think that the headset thing will happen. The rule, which came in like 92 or 94 or whatever it was, something like that, that's what it was. Basically, it's like it was one of those rules. There have been a lot of rules over the years to try to, like, you know, slow down the arms race, right, which is hilarious, which is just freaking hilarious, right? Because nothing slows down a freight train, and it's just gone bigger and bigger and bigger. But so that's one side of it. To your question on punishments, I have no idea. I mean, first of all, you know, so the NCAA, if you look at their timelines, like anybody who's hoping like Michigan's going to be, you know, like punished and not allowed to be in the playoff this year, that's not going to happen. I mean, no. this is going to be, but you know, it's a really, really interesting situation because it's kind of unprecedented. I mean, it's very much like a Spygate, you know, it's like some of these NFL cheating scandals, but obviously that's the NFL, and in college football, it's just, there's really a lot of stuff here that isn't covered in the rule book, but the NCAA is acting quickly. Now the Big Ten can do something. They could, I mean, I guess in theory they could like not let Michigan play in the Big Ten championship game if it got there, but I'm still unclear on, I still don't think that like they could still be in the playoff, I think. So I, yeah. So, you know, the punishment, the bigger question there is Harbaugh and what happens to him potentially down the road. But, I mean, this is wild. I tell you what, take it from the Tennessee angle, Robbie. And some people may be, you know, taking some liberties with this, but the bottom line is they did scout Tennessee. There's that. They absolutely bought tickets and were taking Tennessee signs. And, yep, again, for people who want to dismiss this, you're not allowed to go. I mean, they did. It is a rule. Regardless of what the rule, what the sentiment or the reason for the rule, it's a rule. So, what they've done here with this network and the money spent and you look at who they were targeting, pretty clear, right? I mean, Michigan last year is looking at who they might be playing in the playoff. And of course, the big thing here with Tennessee is the South Carolina game.
Yep.
I've seen some stuff on that that I think is valid. Now, one thing, and by the way, I mean, yesterday, I don't know, I may write about this at some point, but I've talked to some people who were part of the Tennessee football program last year, and there was not some big South Carolina stole our signs and cheated. Now, it doesn't mean they didn't, but that wasn't like, that's what, not like what they were talking about. I do find it very interesting that South Carolina scored a touchdown on every freaking possession.
Yeah.
And I think with Tennessee, it's more the defensive signals that would be more, you know, would be vulnerable, as the offense going so fast. Like, and you know, I mean, last year people knew what they were doing. Yeah, it was a deep choice route. So can you cover him deep and can you cover him short? Because I'm going to throw to one of them and good luck, right?
Right.
And Tennessee still scored 38 in that game. But defensively, everybody put it on Jeremy Banks. Is it possible? Is it possible that Michigan didn't want to deal with that offense in the playoff and help South Carolina? South Carolina's defensive backs coach worked for Harbaugh. So there's a lot of things here that Vol Twitter can just go nuts about. The wristbands is one thing I would dunk on, and this is conversations with people yesterday. You know, the wristbands, it was like the only time they wore it, and Holly Rowe said that on the broadcast. That's a playing that tempo offense. I mean, you can easily explain that with playing the tempo offense. Too much is being made of that. But I'm not completely dismissing this as something that was a factor in that game.
No, I'm not completely dismissing it either. I mean, there are people bringing up the Shane Beamer Wake Forest incident where he was fined $25,000, where he has been caught cheating before. So, like I said yesterday, Joe, that makes me feel better about the South Carolina game. I choose to believe it. Shane Beamer is not only a goober, but is a cheater, a cheating goober, Shane Beamer.
Well, the thing is, it's like, if you're a Vols fan, because look, what did we talk about earlier this week? It's like, man, the Vols, these meltdowns on the road and stuff. And again, like the whole Jeremy Banks thing last year was a distraction and hurt them. You tack on Jeremy Banks and the sign stealing of Connor Stallions, and it's like, well, you can just completely excuse the loss for Heupel now.
Yes, yes.
I'm surprised, sure, Heupel didn't lean in more on it. He was asked about it on the SEC teleconference this week, and you know, didn't really say much. Billy from Bellevue says, sorry, did you just insinuate South Carolina destroyed Tennessee last year because they had their signs? Billy, I'm just telling you what Vol Twitter is talking about, my friend. Now, let me tell you something about Vol Twitter. And Andy Staples has brought this to light, the first that I saw. They absolutely were talking about Connor Stallions and all this stuff way back in December and January.
I mean, of last year, yeah. Yeah,
yeah. There are posts like, yeah, I know this guy. I'm a friend of a friend. He's doing this stuff for Michigan, et cetera, et cetera.
It's hilarious.
It's amazing. I mean, the whole story is truly amazing. Like, college football just, and I don't know where it goes. But, Billy, I am not dismissed. Listen, and we're going to talk about this in the next segment, because what's really stupid right now, and I can't imagine anyone but a Michigan fan would do this. If you think that there's no benefit from absolutely having the answers to the test and knowing, oh, they're running play action, so we sure as heck don't need to send a run blitz in. I mean, if you think having the answers to the test before every play isn't a benefit, why the heck would you have a web of spies all over the country doing this stuff?
Right.
Like, you're starting me early on the rant, people. Let's not be stupid.
It's like some military operation that's going on out there that Michigan has thrown out. Joe, I know we're going to get into this a little bit more in the next segment. One thing that I am going to say right now, this will be what ends up driving Harbaugh back to the NFL. When they get through all of this, whatever the punishment is going to be, because it's going to be something. Like, there's too much smoke there for this to not fall back on Harbaugh in some way. This is going to end up being what pushes him back to the NFL to avoid that punishment. That's just me.
Yeah, you may be right. And when another part of that is some people up, you know, who cover Michigan or know Michigan well, are saying that it's like this prominent, it's a booster or a trustee member who hates Harbaugh, that he's the big source on this. Don't know if it's true, but it sounds like some of the information people are getting about this, it does feel a little bit like an inside job.
Yeah.
Pretty wild. That's another reason, if you're him, it's like, okay, enough of this crap.
Yeah, I'm going back to the National Football League. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. We'll have more coming up, up next on this topic with the Rex Rant, which you can check out every morning at 745 here on the program. We will do that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game.
Sometimes he wakes up on the wrong side of the bed. And sometimes he's just, well, Joe.
Awkward moment. Let's do it.
This is the Rex Rant, now on Robbie and Rex Road.
It's the rant wheel is what they call it.
The guy is drunk.
When I woke up this morning, I was feeling pretty dangerous.
Gator don't play no sh**. You feel me?
Wild Stallion!
It is that time of the day, time for the Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad. You can check it out every morning at 7:45 here on the program. Joe Rexroad's rant of the day. Joseph, the floor is yours.
I hope Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure fans enjoy Wild Stallions, and they spell it S-T-A-L-L-Y-N-S. And, of course, Connor Stallions with one L. So we got alternatively spelled Stallions. I mean, I think it's just too perfect, isn't it? Before I get into this, a quick aside, because this text line is not letting me answer some people, which frustrates me. So I feel bad because I had some really good typed out answers for you. So real fast. Jack from Nashville says, what's the argument if he's less likely to be on the team next year for keeping him? The argument is twofold. One, Vrabel and his player is trying to win. Two, you want to help your young QB. It's a lot tougher for your young QB this year if he's playing, if he doesn't have 22. And then Mike asked me what I do with my hands. Again, I put them up in the air like a shrug, like what? Stop cutting me off. So unfortunately, it was not an amazing jazz hand situation. Also on the text line, Robbie, already we got people just furious about this idea. Like Jacob, just, this is nonsense. The Tennessee fans, don't give them the excuse. Listen, this Connor Stallions thing, and Tennessee still could have tackled someone, still could have covered someone, right? Sure. I mean, of course, this is where a beautiful example of two things can be true and people not being able to grasp that. Like Deion Sanders this week is like, well, you still got to execute, right? So some people are just rallying around that. And of course, you know, Michigan fans in particular, right? Because obviously if you're a fan of a team in something like this, you want it to go away and you want to excuse everything and all that stuff. If your rival had this, like if Ohio State or Michigan State had this, Michigan fans would be calling this the absolute crime of the century, just as Michigan State and Ohio State fans are doing now, and they would all flip-flop if it was the other way around, right? We can agree on that?
100%.
Yeah, so Deion's right, but also, I mean, if you're being honest, and there's two really good pieces that I'm going to use this to promote at The Athletic from David Ubben and Max Olson, talking to coaches about what this means. And I would just... It's you know, four head coaches for Urban, three from Power Five, one from the Group of Five, or four head coaches. I mean, it's to paraphrase all of it, it's a huge deal if you have the answers to the test. Okay, it's a huge deal. The Michigan coaches are over there. Like, there's pictures now of, you know, the Michigan coaches and then Stallions, and they've got the big menu with all of their signs. Yeah. If you can get to your team what it is, what this means, or even part of it. Okay, this is definitely even just pass run. Yeah, that's a big deal. One of the coaches in this made the point, like in a game, you might have, you know, a few like perfect calls. You called a blitz against the perfect play, blew it up, they lost 7 yards or whatever it is, right? If you get like 20 of those because of this, I mean, it's a massive deal. And Harbaugh, after the 2020 season, was in huge trouble. He got a pay cut. Michigan fans wanted him fired. And look at the timeline of this being utilized in Michigan success. And again, is that everything? Hell no. Michigan has a great quarterback who's a first-round pick. He's a Heisman. It's not because of sign stealing. He's a great player. They got great players. They kicked the crap out of every team they played this year, whether they ever had any idea about a play coming or not, right? I mean, they could have, with their schedule this year, they could have not even read their keys on defense and just said, let's just go run and tackle people and see what happens, and they'd still win. But why do you do all this? Why do you invest in all this? Why would you go through this trouble? You don't think it matters? Get your head out of your butt if you are trying to argue this. And then there's another thing. And this happened yesterday. And frankly, Robbie, I'm not comfortable calling anybody out in this forum. I got some friends I think I'm going to call today, some friends of our show too. Here's what happened yesterday, and I've wondered what Michigan was going to do with this. But Michigan has determined, because, I mean, again, the evidence keeps piling and piling and piling. It's a real thing. It's a significant thing. It is absolutely a big deal. Don't know what the punishment is going to be, but they don't either. I mean, it's going to be interesting to find out. Michigan has decided, okay, what's the spin that can be done? Well, that Harbaugh didn't know. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So got some people I respect a lot. And listen, if Michigan comes to you, I mean, let's go inside baseball a little bit. You're covering this and Michigan spokesperson reaches out to you and says, hey, listen, I mean, you know, I don't know everything that's going on, but I'm telling you, or even Harbaugh himself, I know nothing about this. I did not know. You have to take it seriously. Okay. You can't just say, psh, you're lying, shut up, you know? I mean, you have to take it seriously. So there's some reports that are to the effect of source says Harbaugh didn't have knowledge and all that stuff. And there's been some things written kind of about the plausibility that Harbaugh didn't know, okay? So I understand that, but give me a freaking break.
Yes.
I mean, the guy is on the sideline right next to all these other coaches with guys with the huge menus. I mean, I absolutely think it's possible. This is like cheating and recruiting back in the old days when we gave a crap about cheating and recruiting. I mean, a smart head coach, like I promise you that Nick Saban has never at Alabama talked money with any recruits, okay,
right,
or parents. I mean, it's just like organized crime. You have buffers. Yeah, the family. Yeah, we got a lot of buffers in the family, okay? So you have buffers, and so I'm sure Harbaugh never had a conversation with anybody about this or anything. I mean, that would be the smart thing to do. The idea that he didn't know about this in his program is so beyond the realm of decent thought. I mean, it's beyond the realm of human thought, okay?
Let's just play that out for a second.
Sorry.
These guys standing over here with these big plate, these big menus on the sideline. Huh. Wonder what they're doing. Ah, we'll just leave them alone. I won't ask them about it. I have no clue what's going on out here.
Man, we really been on their stuff today. Yeah. Hold that. You guys are doing a heck of a job in your film study. And by the way, is that post game? Are we going to Denny's? What's going on?
What's that signal? I've never seen that one before. Ah, okay, cool. Keep it going, guys.
I mean, again, a head coach is just like in a lot of cases, like we need that kid. Get that kid.
Right.
Okay. In the old, get him. And after that, you don't hear, oh, it's 200,000, but Georgia's offering 220. You don't just get him. Get him. And then you know, the kid commits. It's like, oh, yeah, he loved our family atmosphere. Whatever. I mean, it's all BS, right? This is the same thing with this. Like, hey, we need to figure something out here. So I wouldn't doubt that this is concocted by an assistant, right? I could buy that. And that Harbaugh had no involvement at all. Just get it done, guys. We got to be better on game day. And this Connor Stallions guy, by the way, he wrote like an 800, I don't know what it is, what, a 500-page manifesto about how Michigan football is going to be great again or something.
Yes,
I mean, dude, it's just amazing. And he's taking pictures with like everyone who's ever played a coach for Michigan. I mean, it's like a dream. And then what happens here is he can't help but tell people what he's done, right?
Right.
Yeah, I mean, like this Tennessee message board poster, like he is absolutely like bragging to people because he's like, I'm buddies with the Harbaughs and Jay Harbaugh is my best friend and all this stuff. And, you know, Aiden Hutchinson from the Lions said like, yeah, I didn't really know him, you know, whatever. And then immediately it's either, I'm sure, an Ohio State or Michigan State fan immediately puts on the internet a picture of Hutchinson and Connor Stallions in the locker room, like, yeah,
yeah.
Like celebrating. I mean,
yeah.
You got to stop with the Harbaugh didn't know. It's just, it's embarrassing. It's ridiculous. Coaches don't know about a lot of things. In this situation, he absolutely knew, maybe not the machinations, because he would be smart to keep himself divorced from that, but he knew that that all of a sudden they are really on people's stuff. It's amazing how on people's stuff they are in the last couple of years. Wow.
Well, and again, not that I don't want to insinuate that it has everything to do with this, because it probably doesn't, but there have been a lot of conversations over the last couple of years of, man, you know, Harbaugh, he was doing a good job at Michigan, but he can never really break through. And now all of a sudden, the last couple of years, they've gone to the college football playoff, and the timeline, all this kind of adds up to that. It's like, huh, man, I wonder what the difference has been in the program.
Isn't that wild? I mean, we're not talking like a couple of years, 2015 through, you know, 2020. So you're talking six seasons. Yeah, it's good, but just went 2-4 and he needs to go. And now it's been two seasons of, you know, Big Ten championship playoff. I mean, if you're Ohio State, I mean, I have been stunned by how they've flipped that around.
Yeah,
I really have. So I don't know where it goes, but let's please kill off the Harbaugh didn't know. It's embarrassing.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. This has been the Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad. You can check it out every morning at 7:45 here on the program. Coming up next, we'll be joined by Teron Davenport, ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter, host of Talking with TD. We'll get into all things Titans with him. Make sure you check out this week's Nashville Best Deal. It's from Bad Axe Throwing Nashville. Go to thegamenashville.com/deals to get a $50 gift card for only $25. Bad Axe Throwing Nashville, Nashville's largest axe throwing venue, located downtown at 648 Fogg Street. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. For years, Chumba's been setting the bar for online social casino fun, and it just keeps getting better with new games released every week and daily bonuses to collect. The fun never stops. So claim your welcome bonus now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21+.